Hello, friends and family. Here in this second encouragement, Matthew chapter 2. Remember, Matthew was written to the Jews, and Matthew would refer and tell a lot of stories about the Old Testament because the prophecy of Jesus was fulfilled. And especially the prophecies in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. That's what makes it so profound about the book of Matthew. The Jewish reader would understand it. And they were also challenged because there were a lot of scriptures. And if you just take a study of the Old Testament and all the prophecies of the Messiah and how Jesus fulfilled it to the title, that it was just amazing. It makes me excited to know that Jesus was real and that he was really the Son of God and the Son of Man. You know, and so in Matthew chapter 2, we read the story that we've all maybe played in plays when we were young, you know, when the wise men came from the east. Now, you must know, when we talk about Jesus and when you deal with the things of Christ, there's always a lot of challenges. There's people that's going to love Jesus, people that's going to hate Jesus, and then people that's going to be indifferent to Jesus. And we see that in the world. You know, the way people are reacting to this lockdown, some people are just indifferent. Some people are very tense, and other people are seizing the opportunity. And so there were these three groups around the life of Jesus and the birth of Jesus. And so starting off, we see how Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, the word for Bethlehem is the house of bread. Isn't that a beautiful place, the house of provision? And Jesus was born in a manger, very obscure, very humble king. Isn't that amazing that our king was born in a manger? You know, most other kings would say other things and would say, "Whoa, we're just great, grandeur type of people." But Jesus was born in the city of David, which was Nazareth. And so in Bethlehem, in this area, Jesus lived in those areas for many years. And so out of this comes the story of the greatest persecution. Jesus was born there. There was no place. We see his father, Joseph. He was probably not living a long time. Jesus was the oldest. And we see the story of the beautiful natural family lines of Jesus as well. Remember, Jesus' own brother did not believe in him until after the resurrection. And so the story of how Jesus also as the older brother in scripture, how on the cross he at a stage said to his brother, "Look after your mother," you know, handing over that firstborn responsibility. So although he was the Son of God, this beautiful, humble king, we can see the story, we can know the story of who he was. But there was also this Herod. You know, Herod was a very, very bad guy. And Herod was just going for the power, going for the overpowering people, and he made a lot of money out of the Jews. And the challenge was how we read the suspicion and how they had to flee and then come back again. It's a beautiful part of history. And so a lot of the kids got murdered, a lot of the babies. Now, Bethlehem wasn't a great town, a very big town. There was probably only about 30 to 50 kids that got murdered in Jesus fleeing away. But right there, from the word go, you know, the devil wanted to kill Jesus, wanted to kill the lineage, the promise of God. And it's the same in our lives. The devil wants to kill the promise of God in your life. He wants to kill the promise of God in my life. The moment, especially when something is born, I've seen it so many times, people get very excited about God, and then there's something born, and yuck, then the devil goes for it. Because he's all right with you if you're just like a natural, normal, unbelieving believer. But when we become believers, whoa, that's when there's life and life in abundance. So we see this massacre of the innocent. We see how Jesus then comes back to Nazareth, and how the promise of these wise men that came to him. You know, and there were three things they brought. And it's actually very significant if you can go and read it. And I'm not going to read all the stories. But the first thing they brought was gold. And gold talks about a king, you know. That was the gift that you would bring to a king. And so worship was there. You brought the best to the king. And so the question today is, do we bring our best to God? Do you bring your second hand to God in your giving and in your life? Do you bring just out of your abundance? Or are you making sacrificial, generous gifts to God? And this is what these wise men did, is they brought gold to God. And the second thing was frankincense, okay, was the stuff that they burned in the temple. And that talks about a priest. You would only bring that type of gifts to a priestly order. So they recognized not just was Jesus the king, but he was also the priest that would come and mediate between us and God. That's what priest means, the mediator, the bridge builder between God and man. A beautiful picture of what Jesus came. He came to restore, became a priestly, and he brought a new priestly order in. That's what 1 Peter 2 verse 9 also talks about, is that we are now a priestly order. We are a new generation, a royal priesthood, his only special people. But the third thing that they brought was myrrh. And you can almost miss the whole story, because myrrh was an offering you brought for somebody that was about to die. Yo, and that one hit me right between the eyes, because I realized not that they only recognized that he was king, that he's going to build a bridge back between us and God, but there must be a death. And that death will be the cross. That death will be our forgiveness, our life. And it is so challenging. Right from the word go, God was not confused about why he sent Jesus. Why brought Jesus into this earth? It's so that we can live. And then the rest, the last part, talks about the life of Jesus, where he was in Nazareth. Remember, some people said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That was where Jesus lived. And the Bible doesn't talk a lot about his life. You know, just as a child for 30 years, he had to grow as a child, as a boy, as a worker, as a carpenter. Isn't it amazing how little scripture actually talks about his life? I love the scripture in Luke chapter 2 verse 52, where it says Jesus grew in stature and in favor with God and favor with man. You know, he had to grow, and that is our challenge. How are we growing? Are we growing in stature? Are we growing? Are we still teachable? Are we still humble like Jesus was? And so as we embark on this journey of the book of Matthew, I want to really encourage us, but challenge us. You know, don't be a Christian that just stops and you don't grow. Be teachable. Keep on going. Let the hunger of God continue in your life, but also grow in faithfulness. Because sometimes we think like, you know, I don't want to work. I don't want to do this. I don't want to just be normal in a way. But your work is sacred. Your life is sacred to God. Your relationships are sacred, and God has placed them in your life for a specific purpose. And so grow in stature. Grow. Ask the Lord for the favor of your life, also to reach the community around us. And so that's what Jesus did. He wasn't just an ordinary carpenter, but he came to show us life. He came to bring and build that bridge between God and man. And so we have a priest, we have a king, but we also have somebody that died for us. And so I want to pray that as we continue in the book of Matthew, that we'll find that grace to know our humble king. So let me pray. Father, I want to thank you for your humility. Lord, you are God of the universe, and yet you sent your son to die for us. Lord, we want to be humble. We want to be teachable. We want to keep on growing, Lord. And so I pray that you will increase the hunger over our lives and in our lives. Father, that you will, that we'll embrace every season that you have put in our lives. And Lord, we won't reject it, but we'll live fully in it, in Jesus' name.